Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me today again for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. As usual, like I said, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me to see another day and waking me up this morning. And as you guys always know, I'm always forever running around like a chicken with my head cut off, but I'm going to let it do what it do because I'm not in my office today. I had to come home because they was delivering my refrigerator. And it's like, oh, I got to be flexible, got to be flexible. So they delivered the refrigerator, got that done, got that taken care of, still need a plumber at another house. So if anybody know any good plumbers in Oceanside, inbox me or email me because I need a plumber here too. So, today's topic is a very interesting topic. But before I even go on to start talking about that, and Leticia, if you hear me, please call me because I'm on your iPad and I can't get the thing to work right, but I am trying my best. So, first I want to start off by saying that the show Precious Predicaments is actually designed to educate, encourage, provide resources, empower individuals as they discuss their challenging life issues with a therapist. I myself am a licensed therapist. Now, in addition to that, with today's topic being one of these, again, taboo topics, why is my child angry and defiant? This show today is not designed to throw parents under the bus. It's not to make people feel bad. But it's one of those topics where people are running into so many issues as it relates to parenting, and they don't know what to do. And by them not knowing what to do, we always tell people, or always say, when we know better, we do better. But sometimes parents just get stuck. And they get stuck because they don't have the tools, the techniques, and sometimes what happens is we parent the way we were parented. So, again, my disclaimer, I don't want parents to feel guilty. I don't want people to think that, well, you know what, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I know my kids. Because if we keep on doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results. So if you want to join me today live on the radio as we are talking about this topic, you can call in at 516-387-1914. Because if you are a parent, a grandparent, if you're a teacher, I am quite sure that you have something to say or something to share as it relates to this topic because no one is actually excused from this topic. So that's my disclaimer in regard to that. So let me start off by saying, and like I said, the topic is, why is my child angry and defiant? As we know, today's children are not what they used to be. When I look at Facebook and I looked at a lot of different things in regards to television and TV shows, sometimes, you know, we just, you know, it's like my mother used to say, we just want to just shake our head. It's like, wow, is this what our society is turning into? Are these individuals going to be our next politicians, lawyers, doctors, you know? And the sad part and what we're seeing is they're dealing with so much hurt, so much pain, going through so many emotions. And sometimes parents really don't know what to do. And, you know, when I was growing up, my mother used to always say, behind every bad child is a bad parent. So I'm not going to say that there's a bad parent per se, but I will say that the parent may need to change the way they are caring and operating and working with their children. Because, like I said, sometimes parents just don't know what to do. Now, as these parents are struggling with trying to figure out why their child is angry, not listening, lying, disrespecting authorities, disrespecting their parents and others, just for a few, because I know that there's other different behaviors out there. This is leaving parents feeling helpless, hopeless, and desperate. And one might even say, hey, let's go back to the good old days, you know, in regards to a whooping didn't kill me or beat the hell out the child. And then others might say, well, okay, when they took prayer out of churches or took prayer, I'm sorry, prayer out of schools, that changed the way our kids started seeing things. And I recall telling my daughter, just redirect the behavior. So we all have our own different views in regards to what we feel may work and what is not working for our children today. So if you have any input, anything you want to say, again, give us a call because I am open to listening. I am open to coming up with types of resources and intervention, as you never know what you might say or how what you have or what you're doing with your kids may make a difference in other people's lives. So let's start off first with talking about anger. As we know, anger is a valid emotion. And even though it's an emotion, a lot of times kids was taught, what you mad about? You don't have nothing to be mad about. You don't pay no bills around here. So kids don't really know how to handle their emotions. They don't know what to do. So what they do is they stuff them. Now, when it comes, and or when the anger is coming from a child, many children become confused. And not only do the kids become confused, so does the parents. Because when we don't know what to do or when parents start doing the wrong thing, parents have kids have child protective services on one end. And we got CPS on one end or Department of Children and Family Services, but then we got kids on the other end that may be killing their parents or kids on the other end going to juvenile hall. So where do we draw the line? How can we determine if an emotional outburst is basically something where the kid is just, you know, dealing with something or going through something, or if they're just defiant? How can we determine if the aggressive behavior is beyond a normal temper tantrum? So those are some of the things that, again, we want to talk about. Now, as usual, people wait till I go on the radio before they want to start blowing up my cell phone and calling me and trying to make appointments and things of that nature. And I tell everybody, I am on the radio live from 12 to 1 o'clock. So if you want to talk to me, please call me after that so I won't have to keep pressing a button and message sending them a text message, and then they'll text me back talking about who is it. Again, the goal today is to provide insight into childhood anger, address defiant behaviors, educate parents and family members, and I also want to make sure that we provide resources for and to assist struggling parents, because the one thing is a lot of times, and we're going to be bringing this up in regards to medication, and I'm not going to talk about medication a lot because I know there are some pros and some cons in regards to that, but one thing I want to say is a pill will not solve all of your child's behavior. And also in regards to that, I know that in my practice and in my experience, with my experience, a lot of parents are afraid of placing their children on medication. And I would say in regards to that is a lot of times, even with what I've learned from talking to adults that use drugs, because most parents are afraid if I start putting my kids on medication, they might wind up using drugs later on in life. But from what I've seen in my experience with that has been, if you don't help your child will later learn to self-medicate. And when they're self-medicating, in most cases, they will self-medicate with drugs or alcohol. So either you're going to either pay now or you're going to pay later. But one thing we cannot do as parents, as people in the community, is we cannot continue to ignore our children. So I'm waiting on you guys to call. Hopefully I can get Teacher's iPad to help me out. And if you can't hear me on the radio, please send me a text message or something and let me know if I'm on or if I'm not on, because I really can't tell right now. So let's get started. When we start talking about, like I said, the angry child and trying to find out what's behind all of that pain and how did my child become angry? We first need to find out if it's something that is biological or neurological. Because a lot of times when you see angry children, sometimes the parent temperament can pretty much be similar. It kind of match. You know, we've seen, and I've seen even in my own family, and I know, and I'm not going to say that I was not a child who did not have anger issues, because I did have anger issues. And I can speak from my own experience in regards to talking about anger management. I have never or had never even heard of anger management classes and things of that nature until I started educating myself and started studying in the field of psychology. Because prior to that, if somebody would have told me that I had to take anger management class, I probably would have tried to find a way of getting out of that too. So, you know, at that time, I didn't know why I was angry. I didn't even know what I was feeling and how I was feeling, because I was told that I wasn't supposed to have those feelings. But I know that I can say from my experience, a lot of my anger was kind of pending up based on the things that I saw in my home, my mother's relationships with some of the people that she was involved in. And that kind of what I believe kind of stemmed or started or fueled my anger, because I felt like there wasn't nothing I could do about it. She won't listen. And I felt that what she did was put us in danger. Now, I'm going to share with you some information that I found on the internet. And it talks about 8 warning signs in regards to your child is headed for trouble. Now, in regards to this information, and it talks about the 8 warning signs, when you look back at childhood, most people think about their decision in regards to the decisions that they made. They think about how they came into adolescence. You know, we start talking about kids and temper tantrums, but the early years were supposed to be perfectly happy and normal. But sometimes all kids did not have happy, normal childhood. And what happens is the later years kind of led people to make individuals cringe back on it. And a lot of times we talk about therapy, and therapy being so taboo, people get upset because they don't want to talk about their childhood. But their childhood kind of becomes the blueprint in regards to when, where, and what happened. And even though you may not want to talk about it because you can't change the past, what you can do is, as you're telling your story, it kind of takes away some of that pain. So what happens is, when we're talking about parents, as a parent, it is really important your important duty is to monitor your child and their activities. So when your child is started to be headed in for trouble, we need to know and we need to come up with a plan. So when you just focus on punishment and not the root of the issue, there's a good chance that your child could become more of a problem child. And I'm going to say, and a lot of times parents don't even realize, a lot of times when our kids get in trouble, the first thing we do want to do is give them a whooping. My thing is, if you whoop them, what's that so do? Are you trying to teach your kid to be afraid of you? Or are you trying to teach your kid to respect you? Because if the kid don't understand why they got a whooping, or the same old cliche my mother used to say, how many times I got to tell you? And I used to be like, you might as well just tell me one more time. Or how many times I got to whoop you for the same thing? Well, apparently your whoopings ain't working, because I got to the point to where whooping didn't even do me no good. I wouldn't even cry. I would tell my mother, go knock on her door, can we get this over with so I can go do something else? So we got to change, like I said, how we do things. So getting back to that, I want to give you some of the common signs that your child is headed in the wrong direction, and it is important to recognize these signs and take appropriate steps to guide your child back down a positive path. First of all, the mood swings. As we know, everyone experiences the occasional change in moods. Teenagers with exploding hormones, in particular, they're prone to their ups and downs. And the key here is to determine if the lows and the highs are too excessive. If your child quickly shifts from euphoria to depression, seemingly without a call, be empathetic and a source of stability. Be calm. Adding to the drama will only make the mood swings worse. So one of the things is, like I said, recognize it. Another thing we need to recognize is withdrawal. Not every child is a social butterfly, but that doesn't mean that there's a problem. However, if you see signs of withdrawal, it could be a cause for concern. Watch again for signs of depression and anger. Watch for the lack of confidence. And if he or she feels rejected by other children and starts to withdraw, talk to your child about that. Another warning sign, hiding things. When you find out that your child has been hiding something, even if it's trivial, it should tell you that you've entered into or you're looking at some type of suspected behavior. So when you start seeing that, again, talk to the child. The next thing is when we're talking about or talking or dealing with those things is dropping grades. If you notice that your kids' grades are dropping or you're finding that they're performing poorly in school, you might want to look again and to see what is going on, why is my child failing in school, and what can I do to assist my child. Now, I had somebody just tell me that they tried to call in and the number is not working. So I'm texting the number again to this particular parent, 516-387-1914, so if you're listening to me. So hopefully you can call in. If not, I will merge you in on my other phone. Another warning sign is sudden changes of friends, fluctuating weight, and personality changes. So those are some things, and changing the way they dress. So if you start seeing these things or these, you know, basically signs, that could be a sign that something is not going right and that your kid may be in trouble. Okay, she called in. Give me 1 second. Oh, this iPad is stuck. Okay, so we go figure this one out. Okay, I don't know how to work Tisha's iPad. It is stuck. Leave it to me to pick the iPad. It's not working. Hi, this is Jeanette. I'm not able to click on, but how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, I have you on my other phone. You know what? Me and technical difficulties, the devil is a liar. Last week when I was on the phone, somebody called and was talking about making sounds like they was a devil. Today, the people called me, wanted to deliver my refrigerator, so I had to come home. So while I was at home, I grabbed my daughter's iPad, and for some reason her iPad is stuck. And
I could hear you talking, but I just couldn't. I didn't know if you could hear me.
No, you know what? I kept pressing a button, and it wouldn't let me log you on. So I just dialed the number that I saw on the screen board. So at least you're able to hear. So I want to welcome you, and I don't want you to think, you know, well, you don't know me that well, but I forgot to tell you I am bossy, and I am a big bully sometimes. So I want you to know that I do respect the fact that you had a doctor's appointment, but I wanted you on the radio. And when I don't get my way, I throw a temper tantrum. I don't do my emotions very well. So I just want you to know that, okay? I really want to thank you for calling in, and I'm glad that I am able to merge you on, not to say that all my other callers may not be important, But I really wanted to make sure that I was able to connect with you because today's topic is basically talking about defiant and angry children. And when has anger gotten to the point to where it is just beyond just a regular, oh, my child is upset, or I'm going to put my child in a timeout? You know, I was talking about in regards to when we talk about punishing and discipline our children, and sometimes what happens is discipline is supposed to be about teaching, and it's supposed to be about self-teaching. But when you're talking about a child who has difficulties regulating their emotions, sometimes we don't know the message that they may be getting from our form of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though when we start talking about the way we was raised, my mother didn't want to discipline you till you got in trouble. So then we'd be like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm going to get a whooping, you know, because we knew what was going to happen. It was very predictable. If I do this, this is what's going to happen. But what happens when you're dealing with an angry child? What has been your experience with just dealing with anger?
Well, you know, trying to find out what the root of the issue is really hard with an angry kid because, you know, they could be angry for a lot of different reasons. And for me, it's his reactions are so large that it really makes it almost impossible to find out where it's coming from. And sometimes he doesn't even know what's making him angry. So we end up just a lot of the time trying to control the behavior and not really getting to the root of the cause because his behaviors are so volatile that they are the only thing that you're able to get to and attend to at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the one thing I want to say is sometimes children, just because they're not acting out, don't mean that they're angry. Because sometimes kids have learned to hold it in, and it could come out, and it's definitely going to come out in their behavior. And when we start talking about some of the terms that we use in the field of psychology, whether it's, you know, statistics show that most kids that have attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity, that you will see signs of defiance. And when we talk about what's defiant, is basically being disrespectful, you know, violating the rights of others, which kind of fall under conduct disorder, so I'm going to get to that too. But when we start talking about a kid that's cursing, you know, a kid that's breaking the house rules, so sometimes we take defiance to a whole nother level. Because in our society, you know, sometimes some kids are very sensitive. And even if they're very sensitive, it doesn't mean that they won't act out. So I want to give you some information in regards to defining defiance. Even though defiance is a common term, means bold disobedience, meaning like, how dare this child say this to me? Or how dare this person just, you know? So, of course, this makes sense. But what we are seeing differently is that sometimes highly different sensitive children appear defiant, but this is what is really happening. Sometimes they follow their feelings. Sometimes they trust their instincts, and sometimes they don't aim to please others. So when we start talking about defiant kids, it's like, how do they become defiant? When do they get to the point? I came home last night, and before I came home, I called my daughter, and my daughter's grown, and I was having a general conversation with her. And I asked her to pretty much help me to move the old refrigerator out the house. She said, oh, you go wait till 10 o'clock to ask me to move. I was so pissed off. To me, that was a pure act of defiance. I was like, you know what? So how do you handle defiant? How do you handle defiant children? What has been your experience with defiant children?
Well, you know, with my son, I've tried a multitude of different things, you know, from communication to redirection to timeouts to ignoring the behavior you know, grounding, there's pretty much I've gone through the whole gamut of things. And what I find in my son's regard is that causes the defiant behavior is his perception. His perception of what it is that he feels is happening to him at that moment. Whether or not it's true or not doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is the fact that he feels something is unfair, unjust, or maybe he just doesn't want to do what's being asked of him, or doesn't want to live in with the rules that most of society lives in. It doesn't seem that he has that will or the drive to want to fit into what society's norms are. So his perception of things tends to be that if he wants it, he should have it. And not only should he have it, but he should have it now. And that waiting for gratification doesn't seem to exist for him. And it often leads him to having some pretty big emotional outbursts, and also to having some kind of deep, more resentment feelings and anger about, you know, that life's not fair in general for him. And then that kind of manifests into other areas of his thoughts in regards to, you know, things that have happened through his life that he's experienced that he feels are unfair, that he can't change. And so he kind of takes all of that anger and he'll direct it at me, or he'll direct it in this house in outbursts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's kind of like a merry-go-round. We go around and around trying to find out where is this coming from, and, you know, working with his thought process, and then also trying to stop the dangerous behaviors that he has so that they don't harm us or harm himself. And you know, really it can be the smallest thing, from, you know, not wanting to do homework, typical average kid, to, you know, larger rages of, you know, that you really can't understand where they're coming from. They're just too big to understand. And, you know, his acting out level can go from, you know, your typical whiny kid to really some very dangerous behaviors of homicide, trying to attempt homicide. So,
wow. And you know what? And I want to talk about that, because a lot of times, and I know trying to find help, trying to find resources, I went onto my LinkedIn page, and I basically made a shout-out, call-out to professionals, people in this field, because we really have to change the way we work with children. Because a lot of times, you know, what we try to do is we try to minimize, we try to baby the child. And, yeah, you're supposed to give them unconditional love. And I do, and even in my therapy, I separate who you are from what you do. And I have a book that I work with children, and it says, I am not bad, I'm mad. Because when you keep telling a child they're bad, they're going to act bad. And it goes back into some of the things that you were saying in regards to wanting that immediate gratification. Life is not fair. I can't do anything about it. So since you're going to do this to me, I'm going to get you back. And when I was a teenager and a young kid, I didn't even know what the word resentment meant. I knew if something wasn't fair, or if it wasn't just, or they hit me first. You know, I'm a grown woman, and I can truly say my aunt, and I want to give a shout out to my auntie who just celebrated a birthday. I went to go spend time with my auntie and my uncle for my auntie's birthday. And I know I look like a lot like my mother, and I get that. Can't change that. Ain't nothing I can do about that. So I learned to deal with it. But my uncle was sitting there, and my uncle is 15 years older than me, and my uncle was drinking. And he kept calling me my mother's name. And I kept telling him, I am not Jean. And he just kept calling me her name as we were playing cards. So when we were playing cards, playing in between. He hauled off and hit me. And like just hit me on my shoulder. And I hit him back. And when I hit him back, it was one of my instincts and my reflexes. And he said, why you hit me? I said, because you hit me first. I said, why you hit me? He said, because I thought I was going to get away with it. My thing was, if I didn't let you get away with hitting me when I was a kid, what the hell make you think I'm going to let you get away with hitting me now? And I mean, he was so serious. I don't know if he wanted to hit his sister or who he wanted to hit. But he just swung at me, just pushed me. I'm like, not today. Because I don't drink, and I'm sober. And even when we talk about anger can be addicting too, because people can be fueled with anger and rage. And the one thing I want to talk about is when we talk about just that anger and that temperament, there's different anger styles. Some individuals have what's called the TNT, meaning you do something to them, they explode. some individuals are what you call like the whiny kids. They nag and they carp, they fuss and they complain. Some individuals will give you the silent treatment or the cold shoulders. Some individuals will do what's called the kick the dog, where they would take it out on other people. Some individuals have what's called the bottle and cap, meaning they'll bottle their anger up and stuff it, and some people will bottle it up and explode. Now, when we start talking about just even the age of a child, we are now seeing the temperaments of children that are angry as far as being toddlers, little bitty kids, throwing temper tantrum, frustrated. With your son, when did you get to the point to where it was like, this is not normal behavior?
My son's adopted, and so he came home just after 2 years old. And so he had at that time what I call orphanage behavior, but I didn't find it to be anything abnormal just because I was told to expect some of the behaviors that he had. When I started seeing some difference in his behavior is when he started in kindergarten going to school and started stealing. He was able to, you know, get away with things more in school. People were, you know, easy for him to go and steal candy over the teacher's desk, that kind of thing, and it led on to more thieving behavior. And in around second grade, his behaviors really started to change so that it was noticeable that he was starting to get in trouble at school. But, you know, honestly, with onset of puberty, which has been in this last year and a half, is when I really realized how much trouble we were in with his behavior, and was no longer able to parent him. Even with every parenting skill that I had, it was not enough to get his rages and his behaviors under control. And so that's when I looked outside for some more serious help for him.
Mm-hmm. And you know, even with the help, I remember growing up, parents used to say, I'm going to see you in a military school. And, you know, military school was supposed to be strict, and some individuals had to go to Catholic school where they would discipline kids there. And to me, it really didn't change everybody's behavior, because people still was winding up getting in trouble. And, you know, I remember telling my son when he was about 5 years old, I would go take him to juvenile hall. And every time he would do something, I was like, keep on, I'm taking him to juvenile hall. I'm going to take him to juvenile hall. And one night, I remember I woke up in the middle of the night. My son was sitting there with a suitcase packed. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting on you to take me to juvenile hall. He said, I got my bags packed. And by the way, you owe me $5. I'm going to buy me a car. I'm going to buy me a house. I'm like, $5 for real? But I kept threatening him, and my threats was falling on deaf ear, because he was like, okay, well, if you go do it, just drop me off at juvenile hall. That way I don't have to deal with you no more either. And I didn't know what to do with him. And when I was raising my son, because sometimes we look at whether it's a male or a female and just the temperament of our children. And when I was raising my son was exposed to my mom. He was exposed to a lot of different things. He was exposed to watching people fight and drink. And so he adapted that behavior, but he internalized it. Where my daughter didn't act out like him, but in my opinion, she was a time bomb, because if you piss her off, she might pick you up and throw you because she's strong as a bull. So they started handling their anger differently, and I had to make sure, you know, because I tell people I knew I was a bad kid, so I don't trust kids. I don't play with kids. I don't play fighting with kids. I don't do none of that because them kids will hurt you. Now, even as far as juvenile hall, they would say that the legal age of a person going or a kid going to juvenile hall was age 8. But now we're seeing kids that are getting expelled from school. Kids are setting animals on fire. They're stealing. They're lying. And our society don't know what to do. Then they tried to charge or try kids as an adult. Looking at the children that are in institutions, they're becoming institutionalized. So as a parent, we're stuck. We're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And like you said, you adopted your son. So with you adopting your son, and you also have other children, and you talked about the behavior becoming dangerous, when I was growing up, I didn't even know anything about residential treatment, day treatment. You know, we didn't have all of that stuff that people have now. So, you know, so at least, I never heard of it.
I've learned this as I go along. I've learned that's the thing. It's a big process, and, you know, there isn't a lot of resources out there, and there's really not a lot of people out there who understand young children who have serious mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have tried a multitude of ways to get help for my son, and I've actually had the door shut in my face several times from pretty much everybody, from insurance to hospitals to police officers. I've had to call police before when my son was being dangerous. And when the police officer came to my door and I tried to explain him that my son had been in a 12-hour rage and had tried to kill us earlier in the day, and that I had already stopped off at a police station, the officer came in my house at 11:30 at night and said, "What do you want me to do? I'm not psych."
Wow.
And, you know, I was able to, you know, keep my wits about me enough to listen to what he had to say. He spent some time and did talk with my son, and then suggested that my son, you know, use some calming techniques for himself, he called it his rage monster.
Mm-hmm.
Played it down a lot, which is really disheartening to me as a parent, especially since he had tried to cause my car to crash earlier in the day with my other daughter in it and try to jump out of the vehicle. And I'd already been to the police that day, and then this is, you know, 6 hours later into the evening, and he's not stopping. He's trying to break windows and having crowbars and raging and kicking, and I have bruises all over me. And you call the police, and you think, okay, they're going to help me, and they come in, and they don't. They instead look at you kind of cross-eyed. You have a 12-year-old or 11-year-old boy at the time, and, you know, they don't take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take it seriously. And, you know, when as a parent, when you go through that time and time again, you just kind of lose faith in the system, and you kind of feel alone. You feel trapped. And
mm-hmm.
you have this child who you've never seen these behaviors before. You know, they're not behaving in the same way that your other children are, or that your nieces or nephews or kids you babysit have. It's brand new behavior. You try everything you can, but, you know, it's wearing. It's wearing as a parent to go through that. And the way that I was finally able to get help for my son was actually to take him to my doctor's office and refuse to leave.
Mm.
It took that for them to call the insurance, and then for the insurance to say, yes, he can go to Children's Hospital that has a psych team. And once I was able to get him there and they had a real psych team come in versus the other hospital that didn't even bring anybody, they put him on a 72-hour psych hold and immediately transferred him to a Children's Mental Hospital lock facility. So all the things that I had been saying to, you know, doctors and police and everybody who I could actually get to listen to me that were ignored, you know, were found to be valid. And, you know, my son has been out of our home now for a year in treatment centers, and we're still struggling with his issues.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it was interesting because I think it was you that had told me kids have CPS. Those have adult protective services. Parents, we have nothing. And that's why I wanted to put a shout out to other therapists, because, see, like I told you when I first met you, I enjoy working with defiant children. I really do. I would prefer working with defiant children, children with anger issues, because at least I can identify with that and I can try to help them to understand where their pain is coming from and help them to redirect or rechannel that energy into something more positive and more productive. But then you have to draw the line in regards to, like you said, is this a psychological mental health issue, or is it one of these things where I'm just really mad at my parent? And when does it get to the point to where not only am I mad at my children, I mean mad at my parents, I'm going to kill everybody in this house. You know, that's taken it to a whole nother level. And there are a lot of parents out there that are living in fear because they don't know if they're going to wake up the next morning. I mean, I want to say, and I don't want to give out false information, but I think it was the Ramirez brothers, but the two brothers that killed their parents. You know, I want to say when that case and that trial happened, many people didn't believe that children was even capable of killing their parents. But then it started happening. I was talking to my first lady this morning, and she was telling me about a situation where a son killed his parent in Escondido. So we're running into these situations. I remember one morning, I woke up, and I have my oldest grandson got some serious anger issues. And I kept hearing somebody cussing and fussing and just going off. And I woke up just in a daze, like, what in the world? And I walked down and I saw his mother standing there looking silly, and my son was standing there. He didn't know what to do. My grandson was outside. He cussed out both of his parents. He cussed them out so bad, I didn't even know if I wanted to even jump in the middle of that mess. But then I just was like, in my house, we're not today. And I went outside and I told my grandson, I don't care how mad you get at your parents, you will not disrespect them in my home. So I had to get him to calm down and use his words. He was so angry, the bullet's about to throw up on himself. And they have been telling his mom he needs anger management, and she has not done anything about it. But the thing is, he don't act like that around me and my daughter. But when he's with his parents, oh, my God. And he's big. He's a big kid. So that makes it even worse when you're big and you're intimidating.
Well, you know, when I hear you say that, it sounds really familiar because my son is very close to the same way. He doesn't have these same behaviors out in the public's eye, or at least he didn't until this last year. He wasn't willing to show those behaviors to other people. But, you know, that's no different than being in an abusive relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like my relationship with my child is abusive. He is abusive to me, and he is abusive to this family. And, you know, when it seems strange to me to have somebody who is threatening and attempting to kill you and has tried multiple times to burn down the house, and to ask for authorities for help for this child and not get it. I mean, I've actually called Child Protective Services myself and said, what do I do because this child is a danger to myself and my other children if he's released from the hospital or released from RTC and they want to send him back here because I don't feel safe. And I, you know, he is still making threats of wanting to kill us. And since he's followed through with those threats in the past, what do I do? And, you know, when I went directly to the police station and all they could tell me was don't pick him up. But, you know, what happens to parents when they don't pick their children up from places, you know, out of fear or trying to protect their other children is they get charged.
Mm-hmm.
They get charged by CPS with child neglect. And,
correct.
And it really leaves those parents in a bad position because I have children at home that are in danger and he's my child. I'm responsible for him. And when you have done everything that you can as a parent, but this is bigger and you cannot treat their condition, they somehow still want you to. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they wouldn't expect me to treat my kid's cancer. They would,
mm-hmm.
would keep them in the hospital and treat their cancer until they were cured, but yet they want to send a child home who is a danger to himself and others and have, you know, the parents be responsible for that amount of, you know, treatment, and it's just not possible.
Correct. And one of the things is not just a general neglect, they charge them with failure to protect. And
yeah.
And that's sad because I didn't even know what that term was until I had a situation where I had became the legal guardian of my son's baby's mother, and she had stabbed my son twice. And she had stole my car, ransacked my home, did all kind of stuff, and when the police picked her up, they called me to come pick her up. I'm thinking, y'all trying to make me catch a case. Now, this y'all done stabbed my son twice. It's the second time. My son calling me, telling me she done pulled a gun out on him, and I'm supposed to go pick her up? I'm like, oh, heck no, this is a setup. And they tried to come at me with failure to protect. No, I'm not failing to protect. You guys better protect her from me after what she just did. So I wouldn't go pick her up, and then I had to go to court, and I had to deal with that situation. So let me give, so one of the things I want to say and what I'm hearing is part of this is not only educating a parent or trying to help understand the kids, but also educating society, police officers, the schools. You know, there are some schools, like we call them DAKE schools, they used to have kids that were in special ed that were severely emotionally disturbed, which is another term that they were using. But see, but now I truly believe people just don't know what to do because they don't know if it's a neurological issue. They don't know if kids are born drug-induced, which is affecting these behaviors. But sometimes it could be a parenting issue, and then sometimes the parents may have done all that they could do, and their child could still have these psychological or mental health issues. So I think what we're having a problem with is determining, is it a mental health issue, or is it just a child that's just a brat or being just defiant and disrespectful, and the parent is being lackadaisical as a parent. So I think in regards to our society, looking at it from a different point of view, because we don't know, we automatically want to blame someone else for it. But we have to stop blaming and come up with resources and come up with research and things of that nature to try to help. And like I said, when we talk about appeal don't solve all your people's problems because they'll give you appeal for this, appeal for that. You don't know what the hell the appeal is working for. So by that same token, how do we change these behaviors? How do we get that child to the point to where they can learn to express their feelings emotionally, I mean, appropriately? One of the things I had you do before, and I was telling you to watch the documentary about Beth, and it was called A Child Rage. That was a strong documentary because that little girl was a mess. But that little girl turned up to be a productive adult. But it took a lot of therapy and a lot of work in order to help this young lady. And I can truly say from a therapeutic point of view, a lot of therapists are scared of kids. A lot of therapists don't even want to work with kids. And that's sad because my philosophy has been, if I can help this child, that will be one less adult in the criminal justice system. That'll be one less adult that has basically processed their childhood anger at a time to help them. Now, I had some stuff. I had interviewed some people, and I wind up having to come home because I had to meet the people to deliver my refrigerator. But one of the things that I want to talk about is the kids, and some of teenage kids and young adults have said, is that part of our anger is our parents don't listen to us, or our parents don't support our dreams, or we don't know how to express our feelings because our parents get angry at us, and they hit us, so we feel that's the only way to get our needs met. What do you think about that? The parents don't listen, which makes the kid angry.
Well, I think there's a normal scope of that. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, your normal family dynamics that happen within the home. And I can kind of see that perspective when it is just dealing with your regular everyday things with my other children that are here. But I think, you know, in my son's case, the parenting and the listening wasn't necessarily a factor. I think it was coming from another place that was within him, you know, just another, I'm not sure what causes it, but I think that because I tried so many different styles of parenting and different techniques that were outside of even my comfort zone, working with another therapist, and none of them worked. You know, I can honestly say that, you know, my style of parenting or not listening or listening didn't seem to affect the behavior in any way. It didn't change that behavior for me.
And I want to give you...
With my other kids, maybe it would, but not necessarily with my son.
And I want to give you credit because you've done an awesome job. I've listened to you. We do have different parenting styles. Some individuals, some parents are very passive. Some parents are passive-aggressive. Some parents can be very aggressive themselves. Some in the parents are striving to be assertive. Being assertive is being firm but fair. But as we be firm but fair, we also have to be open-minded, and we also have to know when we can't do it alone and we need some help. Now, I want to give you some information in regards to, at a glance, four possible reasons that child or children don't follow direction and may be angry. Focus issues. Sometimes kids can have difficulties focusing. So you want to find out, and it says you wonder, Was that my child paying attention? Your child seemed to hear you, but does it do it wrong? Do they have difficulties in regards to whether it's ADHD, whether it's, you know, Tourette's disorder, or you want to know if they can focus? The next one is processing issue. You wonder, why doesn't they understand this? The problem could be the child hears you, has the directions in front of them, but still doesn't get what they're supposed to do. So sometimes children can have processing issues too. And sometimes when a child has difficulty processing things, that can also make them angry also and become defiant.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason? Kids with language-based learning issues can have a hard time understanding multi-step instruction. They hear what you say, but their brains have difficulty processing what the word means. Another one is memory issues. You wonder, why doesn't my child remember what they're supposed to do? The problem, the child hears and understands directions, but can't get past the first step because they forgot what the heck you just said. Some kids with learning and attention issues have weak working memory skills, and working memory is what's called a sticky note of the brain, and the weak working memory skills makes it hard for them to keep track of what comes next, and then language issues. You wonder, why is he or she taking me so literally? Now, that's another one, because I want to say that with some of our kids, they are so articulate and they are so intelligent, they know words that the parents don't even know. So the language may not be that they don't understand you. Sometimes the child speaks over the kid. I mean, the child speaks over the parent. The problem, your child hears the direction and follows the words but isn't taking anything else into account. So in regards to that, and it talks about being understood, trying to understand something that you just like, wow, what in the world is this? Sometimes, like I said, even dealing with the police and stuff, sometimes they don't know what to do because they, you know, have never seen this before. They don't know how to communicate with the parents, and they just slam on the doors in people's face. So let's talk about ways. What do you think will help you? What do you need as a parent, or what would you like as a parent?
The number one thing that I would like as a parent is for people to listen to what I say. I have tried many times to talk with different people, and what I find is they hear, they have a preconceived notion of looking at what an 11-year-old child is doing, and they tend to just put, you know, a kid that is, they can't grasp the fact that a child could try to kill. They don't grasp the fact that you're dealing with something that is so severe at such a young age. And I feel like, you know, with my son's illness, that we're at a place kind of like autism was 20 years ago. It's just not understood. It's not known. It's not common. And people are not educated. So when you bring them something new, they want to put it into a different box.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't fit in that box, they just don't know what to do with themselves. And they tend to try to, you know, turn the other way. They
mm-hmm.
they kind of push you away, and it's a really lonely place to be, and it's a really scary place to be when you don't have the answers as a parent, and you're supposed to be the one caring for the child. And, you know, what I find is a lot of the, you know, even well-intending professionals that I went to seek have less information than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, there's not a lot of resources for kids. You know, specifically one of my child's issues is attachment issues, and there really is not a lot of resources out there of people who understand what an attachment issue is and how to handle that attachment issue. So, you know, when I was researching trying to find somebody to help my son, I would get a lot of runaround and redirection and spend hours and days on the phone, and people would only half listen to what I was saying to them, and they'd send me to the next wrong person. And when you're already drained and dealing with a child like this, you just lose, you know, you lose hope. Really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lose hope, and you just kind of feel defeated, and it becomes a struggle of just getting through today. And there is no, you know, looking forward into the future or looking forward to saying my life can be any different or his life could be any different. It's just like, how do we get through today? How do we get through this moment? You know, and it builds a lot of stress in families. There's not a lot of support, and there's definitely not a lot of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just for people to, you know, be open and listen, and you know, don't make up answers if you don't know the answer.
Oh, wait a minute. We can't do it's my fantasy.
I don't want to hear it's my fantasy from a therapist. That doesn't work for me. I've been there before. I think that, you know, I think you hit it on the nail when you say blame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as parents, we're always blaming ourselves. We're always looking and going, you know, I want to be better for our kids. We want the best for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have a kid and you've done everything you can as a parent and then some, and it's still not working, you know, it's not going to give you a very good outlook on yourself as a parent. You're going to have lower self-esteem. You're going to feel frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And that child's going to feel frustrated too. And, you know, the support should not be, you know, in my opinion, when you're looking at a problem, the problem should be on the other side of the room, and the therapists and the doctors and the teachers and the parents should all be on the same side of the room looking at the problem. It's not about blaming somebody. It's not about, you know, whatever it is that's causing it, it's just a matter of finding out how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And not only just fixing it, I want to say even trying to understand it, because, like I said, when I talked to you and I told you about how I was as a kid, teenager, and all that other stuff, and I don't even think that there would have been a doctor or somebody that would have been able to help my mommy with me, because she didn't know what to do. And part of it, I felt that, you know what, you guys created this. It wasn't that I needed medication, because I've never been on any meds. I've never been on any of that. I just had this I don't care attitude. You mess with me, I'm going to get you back. But then I had to change that. And it's one of the things that when I work with children with problems like that, I tell them, you have to learn how to fight differently. And that's what I had to do. I had to learn how to fight differently. I had to understand that it's not personal. I had to learn that people may not know how to help you. People may not be able to give you what you want if you cannot voice what you need. And so I had to retrain my brain and my thought process. And then when I met my co-therapist, and I called her my sister from my mother, my sister from my other mother, she told me, you know, we ain't got no bail money. So that kind of keep us out of trouble, or keep me out of trouble. I ain't got no bail money. I can't be going to jail, because I ain't going to never get out. So, so I had to change the way I was doing things, because when I was younger, oh, my God, it was horrible. And I didn't even realize it. I did not know I was angry. I did not know I was being resentful. I didn't know. I was just my grandmother used to say, you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. And somebody got to die. So, and it was bad. It was really bad. But I had to learn other ways of handling things. And that's why with my grandkids, I have to make sure, because I know where they come from too. So that's why I have more patience with them. And I have more patience with the kids and the families that I work with, because I truly understand. So we need a better sense of understanding, a better sense of awareness, more insight, and we can't just always go punish, lock you up, you know, drop a pill down your throat. Now we have...
I think that they need especially to have, like I said, you know, going back to CPS for children and Adult Protective Services, there's nothing for parents or... but in a dangerous position.
Mm-hmm.
That would, you know, be a big fix to have something that, you know, is there to protect, you know, the adults. And not, you know, my son is 12 years old, but he's a very dangerous boy. But, you know, to where do I call to get help when it is that it's all-encompassing? It's dealing with not just the other children in the home, him, but myself, when he can't be in this home because he's dangerous.
Well, you know what?
I have nothing.
You know what? We go advocate for that. We're going to try to come up with something, because there definitely needs to be some help. And I told you, I got you on this. So after today's show, we go listen to see who's hearing, find out if I can reach out to some psychiatrists, some psychologists, some individuals in law enforcement to educate them on what to do when they go to these homes and they're looking at these kids. I'm trying to be an advocate in the school system to try to help these families, because it is so frustrating. And not only is it frustrating for the parents, it's also frustrating for the child. Now, we have 1 minute left, and I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to thank you for your patience with me with this. Now, next week's show is going to be about parent-child jealousy, because a lot of times another issue that we're dealing with is the jealousy. You know, we have parents jealous of the children, children's jealous of their parents, and we got to stop this war because, you know what, we got to learn how to get along with one another. So I want to thank you today for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. You can follow me on Twitter. Again, thank you for listening. And remember, you got this. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.